What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, episode 22 of season 5. First off, before I go into the opening spiel, I want to say a happy, slightly late Juneteenth to all the brothers and sisters out there, and a happy Father's Day to the Press X dads and any dads who are listening to this podcast right now. Congratulations on children.
You did great.
Congratulations. Your junk works.
Keep up the good work.
Shout out to DJ Cam and Sean for being present black fathers.
You know,
you love to see it. So we here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host. I haven't been here in a while, but I am your heavyweight champion from Wish Nigga Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because we watch niggas, a.k.a. Hakeem Potter.
Ooh.
Okay. If you could see my glasses, they're very sort of Harry Potter-esque, so yeah.
Oh, yeah! Oh, okay. Look at you!
Wait, are those new?
Yeah, those are new, right?
Yeah, they're new.
Yeah. We actually was marathoning Harry Potter.
Really?
We just finished watching The Order of Phoenix last night.
I'm sorry.
Look at this fancy nigga being able to see shit.
They are a series of solid movies that get better towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen one Harry Potter movie.
Which one?
Which one?
Please say the last
Fuck
one.
If I could tell you.
Please say
I
the one.
It was around 2004, 2005, so whatever came out then.
2004, I was 50.
That's probably before Goblet of Fire, because Goblet of Fire was 2005.
Yeah, it had would been Prisoner of Azkaban or Goblet of Fire around there.
Yeah,
I think probably Goblet of Fire. Hey, this is coming from a guy who watched the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. You know.
Well, since you're already speaking, who is you?
I am Sean MF Ross.
What MF stand for?
Manager of Fuck Distribution.
Ooh,
he a pimp.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's got to put food on the table somehow.
You're not wrong.
And I am DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka future esport player of the new Gundam game, aka Did You Know? Actually, you know what? I'm going to save it for the actual quick hits. Let's go.
You know, I'm going to take your esports spot. I'm going to be like that girl who did the skiing. There's this woman who did like very, very simple ski routines to work her way into the Olympics. And it pissed off a lot of people. She just stuck to the basics and earned her little points to get into the Olympics. And other people who do more intricate shit were just crashing and disqualifying out.
She played for points. And
I'm a steal DJ spot.
It sounded to me like she finessed.
Oh my gosh. Last up.
And I'm Avery Williams. I'm back, I guess. I'm hoping to finally get away with it. That's literally.
Last time you heard Avery, the audio was garbage.
Yep.
If you can find the first couple episodes, don't go listen to it.
They were recording with a snowball mic in the middle of a table.
You sure there wasn't a can with a Rice Krispie for a receiver?
We came a long way. But now that we're all introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. So to start off, what you been playing, Avery?
So this is incredibly late, so I'm not going to really be able to give any like real insight in regards to this game.
Real quick.
Yes.
Before we jump into this, I want to do a couple little things for housekeeping.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, no problem. First of all, I want to let you guys remember that we are still donating to the Palestine charity drive. So if you go to pressxnumber2start.com/Palestine.
We didn't solve it yet?
No.
Nah, go ahead.
We're still waiting for you, the viewer and listener, to donate now. I just winked. I didn't wink. Whatever. The other thing is don't forget to check out our E3 2021 review cast. It is in video and audio formats. And the next week, we're going to be doing the Ratchet & Clank review.
Yes.
So look out for all those things. And again, donate now.
Yes, please.
Now.
Do it for the kids.
Now.
Trick love the kids.
All right, now, Avery, what you been playing?
Yeah, so like this is back to my original thought. This is a game that came out ages ago, so I'm not going to be able to give any more prescient insight into this game that wasn't already said in Discord a while ago. But I am finally now sitting down to play Bugsnax.
Wait, you said ages ago? It was like 6 months
look,
ago.
Man, man, that was deep in Corona time. So like,
oh, you're right.
It was ages ago.
You had a whole ass baby the last time. So.
How are you liking it so far?
I am, like, right now, I'm enjoying how simple and chill it is. And, like, I'm enjoying playing a game where there's absolutely no fucking danger. Where, like, a character, like a bunger can knock me off a cliff, and that's just not
bunger,
the,
bunger,
and that's
bunger,
just not
bunger,
the bunger. End of my game.
Bunger, bunger, bunger.
Am I supposed to feel offended? I kind of feel a little offended. What's a bunger?
It's a hamburger. It's a hamburger monster.
Oh, okay.
With
okay,
legs, cool. It runs into you and knocks you around.
That's a harassment. What the?
Are you offended, DJ, because you too are a hamburger with legs?
I thought he was a French fry.
Shut up! But I couldn't get my foot up there.
Yeah, I talked about it at length, Avery, when it first came out. I platinumed it. It's an interesting game. They set it up for more story.
Mm-hmm. So, Avery, do you know anything about the game going in, or are you just going in blind?
I knew everything about this game going in. My big thing is I want to experience the journey. I didn't necessarily care about the end, because I didn't necessarily think that there was anything super deep about Bugsnax going in. And as I can, as I'm playing right now, I think that I didn't do myself a disservice, but I did underestimate the storytelling choices that they would pull in that game. It's not a simple Pokemon Snap, like, oh, just take pictures, capture these Bugsnax. It's more like there's actually a deeper mystery going on around Bugsnax. Why they're this weird thing? Why these monsters called Grambles? Like, it's a whole interesting thing. I'm actually interested in getting forward, but I'm gonna be honest. I'm playing this game for its trophy list.
I figured.
Because, well, let me be honest, 2020 was like a very shallow year for me when it came to platinum trophies. So I'm trying to get that shit up this year. And I'm looking out for any PlayStation 5 game that is a PlayStation 4 game that I already have the platinum in, so I can just put the PlayStation 5 game in and just get the platinum trophy. Shout out to you, Spider-Man Remastered. Didn't play a second of that game. Got the trophy and dip, though.
Are you surprised at how they present the adult elements and jokes in there?
Not necessarily, because this is the same team that gave us Octodad, which was implicitly a game about an octopus who had a full-on human family.
There's questions there that we're just not gonna, we're just not gonna. No, that's a different podcast. Mm-hmm.
Come back for a Press X After Dark when we get into the deeper.
Relations between octopus and human.
I mean, if you've seen a very specific Japanese wood carving drawing, you'll know about a fisherman's wife. You know exactly what that relationship was.
Pretty straightforward.
That was a squid, but they're essentially the same animal, give or take a couple legs. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of games right now. I'm in a weird holding pattern after Ratchet and Clank, where I'm trying to. Like, I could easily go back to Mass Effect Remastered, but like I said, Mass Effect 1 is actually kind of a rough game to get through. And after I spent, a full hour trying to kill Arachni on a planet, I'm like, my luck for this game has diminished a lot. I'm in a weird place in Apex where, like, I cannot grind that game until they fix some of the fundamental issues that they have, such as playing duos and actually getting a fucking partner.
Yeah.
I've talked to Sean about this, but, like, I find duos funner than trios because it's quote-unquote a more fairer fight, because they're only, if my teammate goes down, I only have to 1v2, not 1v3, if that makes sense. So I like duos better.
And even if you get third-partied, it's not terrible.
Three people jumping on my head, it's two people jumping on my head. So if I play smart, right, I can probably survive it. The issue is, because it added the no-fill option, the game automatically just doesn't give teammates to a large proportion of the game's population to allow no-fill to fundamentally exist. Gotcha. So there is literally a full four-hour session I played in just duos where I didn't get a partner for 12 games.
Yeesh. Whoa. That
That's legal.
Okay.
And so, like, I'm not having fun.
That's very broken.
I'm not having fun grinding that game. I also got so frustrated. Like, I don't have a reasonable rank squad, so I got so frustrated with that. So I'm just not really. Mm. I'm just in a holding pattern until brand new games come out.
Are you getting Bridge of Kenna?
Yeah, 100% getting Kenna.
Bridge of Kenna.
Bridge of Spies. I'm getting Kenna. I just can't. Okay. Yeah. I'm just waiting on the big either to finish off my backlog or just a brand new game to come out.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, next up, DJ and I are going to talk about a little something called chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos.
My name's Jack, and I'm here to kick chaos's ass.
You see this shirt? You see all the buttons on this shirt?
I just got out.
Chaos, I killed.
I got out from H&M ready to fight.
Terrible.
Oh man. But you know, all jokes aside, it's not so bad.
Yeah, it was really weird. Really weird. This game shot itself in the foot
because sure did.
Of the terrible presentation of it.
That but presentation that, was so bad.
Yeah, like it's a fine game.
It's literally what you would expect if you heard somebody say, oh, imagine Final Fantasy creators made a Souls-esque game. It's literally as advertised.
Yeah, like, I almost want to say it feels more like Dynasty Warriors than a Souls game. Because it's more so a Souls game because of the damage you take.
Right.
But in terms of the dungeon scenario. Yeah, but like in terms of the combat and the like combos, it mm-hmm. feels very Dynasty Warriors. Like even I didn't get to it, but like I did see somewhere like you can do air combos as well.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't even know you could jump in that game.
No. See, like I didn't beat the demo. I played about probably a total of 2 hours or so of it, and then I kind of put it down. But like the 2 hours was literally spent like doing the tutorial, which is about a full 10 minutes or so, like playing the first fight and like figuring out like how this game's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So I was actually in that like first starting area, just like fighting the bad guys, going back to the cube thing that like brings up your menu to see your the RPG elements essentially of the game, and just kind of looking and reading through that stuff. But like, yeah, I believe there are air combos in this game.
Hmm. Well,
yeah,
I mean, I also didn't play too much of it because I didn't know until later that you could remap the control scheme because I could not stand the control scheme upon playing it at first. And even when I put some more time into it, it still wasn't like I still wasn't soaking it up the way that I would have hoped. But now that I know that you can actually remap attacks and stuff to the face buttons, I'll probably go back and try it out again soon. Just to see how I feel about it. But overall, it's a fine, you know, not necessarily hack and slash, but sort of like a, you know, very dungeon crawl RPG.
So
I don't really care about what's happening at all.
It's chaos. You're fighting chaos.
The characters seem super bland. I do appreciate that you can customize your look, though. I was worried about that because that man's suit or that man's outfit was just so modern, it was weird. But whenever you pick up any sort of dropped gear, if you put it on, it completely shows up on your person. So,
yeah,
kudos to them for at least doing that.
So, I will say, in terms of the combat and RPG elements to this game, I think that's where it's going to surprise a lot of people because like just digging into it, your character ranks up and you rank up a job.
Yeah.
And that gives you a certain skill tree. So once you get to the end of that skill tree, I believe you can get another job and essentially
climbing that fantasy corporate ladder.
Basically, but like your jobs dictate the types of attacks you do. Mm-hmm. So the first job, I think, is like a soldier or something. Mm-hmm. So, and then like you can actually see the skills you can unlock through that job. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually assign each of those skills to like combo attacks. So you can do like square, triangle, square, square, triangle. I think square, 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 triangle. Or like
hold square, triangle. Yeah.
So like you can build out your character as unique to like however you want to play. Mm-hmm. So I really think this game has potential. It just does. Didn't really show well at all.
It is literally a game I feel like that will appeal to a certain audience and it will go over mm-hmm. like gangbusters, but it yeah. will also not really move numbers like that because everything surrounding the game is just so boring. But
yeah,
the gameplay
no
itself
beyond the play
exactly. But the game
that depends on the reviews.
That's true, but
that's also true too. Yeah,
just given what I've seen so far, it feels very if you made a Final Fantasy game boring. But we'll see what happens. Yeah,
it's weird though because this is from Koei Games, a la Ninja Gaiden or
the
Ninja Gaiden.
The more recently the Neo team.
Right. It's Team Ninja. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, when I heard that name, I was thinking, like, oh, okay, this should be interesting. But then seeing the game in the presentation was like, is this, like, the B or C team? What's going on? And then, like, playing, it's like, okay, it seems like they wanted to make a game, but they didn't have the budget for, quote-unquote, polish. Mm. So this is kind of where
we have a time frame for when this game is coming out?
Not at all.
Because this, honestly, based on
it should be soon.
Yeah, it seems like it would be soon.
Yeah. For me, when I first saw this game and I saw everything, I saw the discourse around it, this very much seemed like a game where they just wanted to get a demo out there to check out the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't really finished the game's actual polish, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like these are all like placeholder from Final Fantasy 15 assets.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
I totally get that. I just looked up Final Fantasy Origins, and it said October 31st, 2002, and then I realized that's actually the first Final Fantasy Origins for PlayStation. So I don't know when this game comes out. I'm going to assume it comes out sometime this week.
You had me for a second. I was like, oh, Halloween 2002. Oh,
you got to look up Stranger of Paradise.
There you go.
Their initial release date is 2022. That's all they have for release.
Bet.
Interesting. All right. Well, they got time to polish that junk,
I hope.
But last up, we are going to talk about Ratchet and Clank. Sean, DJ, and I are making our way through it. Avery's already finished it. We're going to give some...
I've already finished it, and I already have the platinum trophy in it.
Of course. if yeah, Avery has finished a game at this point, just assume he also has the platinum trophy as well. So we're just going to give some light impressions about it. And then, obviously, like we said earlier, we will review it next week. So, what you guys think?
Sean, you go.
I don't have many complaints about the game other than I think when you're dashing, it kind of just like stilts your movement. I wish you could dash and continue the momentum. Mm. Kind of.
Let me tell you, Sean. Let me tell you. You can.
Oh, the double dash?
Yeah, so the dashing is actually interesting here because you can jump and dash and you can just dash. So if you dash and then jump dash, that gives you two dashes. And then if you jump dash, okay, so if you dash, jump dash, once you touch the ground, you can dash again.
Yeah, it's just like a timing thing.
Yeah.
I just don't like that. That's the weird movement stoppage after you finish dashing.
Yeah. That
I feel like that's,
I had to get used to
I feel
that
like
too.
That's par the course though for these type of platformer games. You know, it's not gonna move as smoothly per se as like a straight up action game.
Yeah,
I will go on the record of saying that Ratchet's jump has always been awkward. It's the high arch. It's not the wide arch.
I would agree with that.
It's like that.
Mm. I don't think it's weird, but
Well, that's the whole like it's crazy thing with the momentum.
It's I find the jump weird in that there are certain like ledges and things that like in my head Ratchet should totally be able to just get on top of this ledge, but his jump is so interesting that I'm just like I get like an inch too low and he won't clamber onto it. And I'm like, oh, this is something.
Yeah.
Like that's like if I had like one major complaint about this game, and we can talk about it more in the actual review. If I think. Some of the actual, like, minute platforming is not as rewarding as I want it to be.
Yeah,
I think the game does reward you pretty well for, like, trying to look for stuff. Like, just exploring to find, like, extra raritanium or
that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, and I enjoy that aspect of it quite a bit. I think my only gripe with the game is that it is not... I think it hides its unpolished well. Because the set pieces and when stuff is kicking off, oh my goodness, the game is awe-inspiring. You know, especially with all the dimension breaking stuff and like
particle effects.
Yeah, it looks great. But then if you stare too much at little things, like let's say you're in a crowded area, you'll see these characters kind of materializing out of thin air or like just kind of standing, not really doing anything. Or I had a period of time where I was playing the game and Ratchet's arm disappeared and it just didn't come back until I restarted the game. You know, so it's...
It was in a different dimension, Mark.
So, I mean, I think that the game isn't as polished as I was expecting it to be. But outside of that, like, I am thoroughly enjoying the game, especially when it kind of kicked into a high gear and we were going back and forth between Ratchet and Rivet. Kit is adorable. Clank is great. The story is fun. The humor is working better for me than it did in the last one.
That's good. That's good.
Because, yeah, I feel like Ratchet and Clank sort of had the, or it still kind of has the Borderlands kind of humor structure where it's like, it's just a, they're throwing a volley of jokes at you. And if you're not really a fan of the series like that, some of the jokes are going to just completely whiff past you.
I mean, if you can't, like, the original games in the series were called like Fully Loaded and Up Your Arsenal. So like that gives
and
you
going commando.
Going commando, like you've that gives you a idea of what kind of humor they're working with.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like when you compare the jokes in Ratchet and Clank versus Borderlands, I feel, to me personally, I just think that Ratchet and Clank's jokes are more endearing.
No, I'd agree.
They're supposed to be a Pixar level of, if you're an adult, you know, you'll catch it.
Right. Because also I think that's by the design too, because Borderlands is way more crass.
They're trying. True. They're trying.
You know, yeah. And I do agree that also, I'd say Ratchet and Clank is definitely funnier, but it's nice to play like a proper PS5 game. Like I said, even though I have little gripes with the polish, like when the game is really going for stuff and being super ambitious, oh my lord. Some of the set pieces I've been a part of in this game, I'm about 80% through.
Yeah.
Has been some of the best stuff I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Like, I'm same lines as you guys. I'm loving this game. Like, right now, actually, my wife just got the black PS5 controller. So we're going to play the, what's that game? What was the other game?
Did she get it on Juneteenth? Game?
It Takes Two. No,
It Takes Two. Actually, she did get it on Juneteenth.
Hey! Shout out to
I got to tell her. But yeah, we're going to play.
Your wallet.
We're gonna play It Takes Two. So right now, like, Ratchet is my game of the year, and I'm enjoying it for all the things that's been said. In terms of the negatives, there really hasn't been much negatives for me. Like, the only issue that I had was early on, like, I was playing in one of the first stages and I fell off the world, and I went to reload the save didn't reload, and then I was like, all right, and then PS5 gave me that whole like, you have an error, send it off to whatever. And it just didn't move from there, and it kept loading. And I was like, did this game just brick my PS5? So I had to restart my PS5. Even that took forever. Then I realized, like, the PS5 takes a really long time to load and, like, whatever. So, like, that was a whole thing. But after that, I hadn't had any issues past that. So overall, like, I'm having a really good and solid experience with this game.
Yeah, so...
And I love the characters.
Definitely be... Yeah, yeah, the characters are great. But yeah, definitely be on the lookout for our review next week. And now, that has been it for what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors. Our YouTube channel.
Insomniac.
Insomniac and our YouTube channel. Definitely look at our E3 coverage, as was stated earlier, and be on the lookout for other stuff that we're going to be having in the future. Like and subscribe, and hit that bell button.
Do it.
And Insomniac, sponsor us, nigga.
Do it.
Hey fam, have you been enjoying this episode of Press X to Start? Want to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. Then tell three people about the podcast. Could be friends, strangers, loved ones, or hated ones. Every little bit counts. And after you're done with that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you're done with all this, well done. Many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
Number one, this comes from GameByte. Sony has sold 9 million PS5 consoles since launch. Congratulations, Sony. Number two, this comes from the Forbes. Bethesda isn't apologizing for Xbox exclusivity. They're just sorry PlayStation fans are sad. So this is an interesting thing. Like,
hilarious.
It's what it's one of those things where it's just like, all right.
Sorry,
like,
not sorry, nigga.
Yeah.
I'll know playing Xbox maybe.
So this was actually Pete Hines was on, I forget who he was talking to. But yeah, he mentioned all over a video chat of like, you know, we're sorry, PlayStation fans, that you don't get the games. You're just going to have to play it on Xbox. But it's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, OK, it's the same way for PlayStation fans who have the exclusives and that
the
Xbox people can't play. So it's just like, all right,
I'm sure Naughty Dog feels the same way.
No, this very much feels like someone in PR trying to smooth over the optics of exclusivity.
Like, this didn't need to be said.
It didn't need to be said, exactly. Like,
right.
No one reasonable is like, there are people who are sad that they're not going to be able to play the next Elder Scrolls on their PlayStation console. But, like, there's no reasonable person is upset by this. Everyone, like, yeah. this is a business decision, and the more you try to make it a personal, like, we're Xbox, we're for gamers, and we're sorry we're making this super business decision to strengthen our portfolio, and it's affecting you gamers.
Yeah, I feel like most people are just like, oh, that's a bummer, and then have moved on. You know, like, I was hurt by Team Ninja being bought by Xbox at the time because I was Ninja Theory. But, you know, I got over it, and chances are I'll just play Hellblade 2 on Game Pass. So
Mark is like, I got over it.
it's like that meme picture of like the smile face, and behind the smile face he's crying.
Oh man. Oh gosh. Sure. All right, number three, this comes from Pure Xbox. Japan is now Xbox's fastest growing market worldwide, confirms executive.
Well, I mean, when the last generation you sold 10 Xboxes, I'd imagine that any Xboxes over 10 is a lot.
Yeah. Like, this is, I mean, of course, this is good news for Xbox, but yeah, like, Xbox One did incredibly poorly in Japan. So if they just sold plus 10, it's considered the fastest growing market.
Without me having to do any more research, DJ, do you have the actual metrics of numbers that they're talking about, or did they just
not yet?
Do they just say, oh, we're the fastest selling? Because if it's the fastest selling, then yeah, I think Marcus's joke is actually more apt than we're actually giving it credit for. In that, like, if we sold 10 Xboxes and now we sold 800 Xbox Series X's, or in fact, Xbox doesn't even count that. They count fucking Game Pass as their metric. And you don't you don't need to have an Xbox.
Yeah, this actually goes against their, like, marketing. Like, what's the need of saying this if you don't count console sales anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't find any numbers on this either.
We're just gonna take their word for it.
Yeah.
Super happy for you guys. Now stop making Idol Master games. I want to play them on PlayStation.
No. Number four, this comes from Eurogamer. Microsoft says it will use cloud streaming to bring 2022 exclusive to Xbox One. I also, I'm not sure if we talked about this last podcast, but I just put it in here, but also Microsoft is developing an Xbox TV app and its own xCloud streaming stick.
Yeah, I may get that.
Yeah, so this is all really good news for Microsoft. Like, the streaming stick is something that I'm also interested in, and that would be a way for me to play some of these Xbox exclusive titles.
Mm. It'd probably be like $100, something like that.
Right. So the bringing exclusives to Xbox One, they're going to basically use their streaming service,
yes,
and it should be ready by 2022. So that's kind of all that is.
This is a super smart decision that at least in my mind, and this is just me, it's like, why do you want me to buy an Xbox One X?
Well, yeah, well, I mean...
Series X.
Series like, X, yeah.
Why do you want me to buy a Series X? Because, like, that's always been my big thing with Xbox and Xbox consoles. It's like, sell me your console. It's very clear they don't care about selling the console. What they want to sell is Game Pass. And by that metric, this is the smartest thing they can do.
This move for me feels like Microsoft is becoming more like Tesla, in that it's not about getting the Tesla car. It's about having a Tesla brand.
Or like a Peloton.
Because watch your kids and that, because they will end up severely hurt or dead. number five.
Brought to you from our Press X to warn. Anyway, go ahead.
Number five. This comes from GameIndustry.biz. Forza Horizon 5 voted most anticipated game in the official E3 2021 awards.
Really?
So
who did they?
Jordan.
What?
Jordan?
Jordan voted 500 times.
Looking, I can see where someone would say this.
Like, I agree.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, like, the game looks phenomenal. If you're into racing games, like, the game looks top tier.
It was fundamentally, I think, the best looking game of pure gameplay we saw at E3.
Oh, I mean, honestly, that was going to be the case regardless, because these car games are the best looking games, period. All they have to be is photorealistic as hell.
For the most part, they're stationary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, it was probably a toss-up between this and... I don't even want to say Halo Infinite, because, like, it's a good game, but it doesn't... In terms of it being a showpiece, I don't think it's a showpiece until you actually play it.
I heard a very interesting conversation from an old Halo pro who doesn't believe that Halo Infinite is going to be as big as Microsoft is assuming it's going to be. So I'm very interested to see.
Oh, in terms of the first-person shooter scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been thinking that as well, and I also don't think that the single-player campaign is going to be as expansive as people think it's going to be either.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out to my prediction about when we see Halo Infinite.
You said next year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, they said holiday this year. They didn't give it a date. They were not confident about a date for this game.
Technically, New Year's is the holiday. Yeah.
Okay, but just to go through some of the other awards given. Best presentation.
Breast of fresh ass. Right.
Best presentation was Microsoft, Xbox's, and Bethesda Game Studio or Game Showcase. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a toss up between that and Nintendo. I really like Nintendo stuff, but
Nintendo shit was solid.
Yeah,
I think Nintendo was really strong in a year where they didn't have as much to prove, whereas Microsoft was like, okay, we really have to knock it out the park, and thankfully they mostly did that.
Totally agree. Most anticipated per presentation. We're just going to read a couple of these because we only know a couple
it's
of these.
Long.
From Capcom, The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
Wasn't that like the only game they showed?
They showed Monster.
That was one of
the
three.
Monster Hunter games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gearbox was Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which was one of... Did they show any other games? Which is that, right?
They showed a lot of Homeworld, and by a lot, I mean interstitials. Oh.
Yeah, Homeworld. Jesus.
They show a lot of the Borderlands movie behind the scenes. And
they show people.
They show a lot of Godfall.
Nintendo. Their thing was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.
To the surprise of no one.
Yes. So, yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy around that game, which I find incredibly interesting and fascinating. Yeah, some people are saying that... you may be playing as a young Ganondorf. Ganondorf. Yes.
You're not a Zelda person.
Nope. No, I'm not. Square Enix. Their thing was Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hell yeah, it was.
Again, kind of shocked it wasn't Final Fantasy Origins.
Really?
Should have been Origins.
You're insane.
Yeah, we watched that podcast together. We were all like, this Guardian game looks great. And then I heard you verbatim say, what the fuck is up with this Final Fantasy game?
You know what? Those were my words. You're absolutely right. next up, Ubisoft. Theirs was Mario's plus Rabbids Spark of Hope. Cool. I don't remember the other Ubisoft game.
They showed off Far Cry, Rainbow Six Extraction. I think they also showed up some Rainbow Six stuff. I think they showed up Riders Republic as well.
Yeah, there we go. How did I forget?
It's one of those things where I really enjoy it. Ubisoft was my favorite conference. Like, in retrospect, looking back, of what, like, when I look back at those conferences, it's like, what conference showed me the most stuff that I am super into, and it was Ubisoft.
Yeah. Okay. And then last stuff that we're going to talk about is, I'm not going to talk about, I'll just mention, is Xbox/Bethesda, which was Halo Infinite, which is interesting that it's Infinite here, but most anticipated overall was Horizon.
That feels kind of like when at the Oscars, in like one movie wins Best Director, but it doesn't win Best Movie overall.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's that. Congratulations to the winners and best of luck to the other people. Number six, this comes from Kotaku.
Oh, God.
This is just for me, guys.
Oh, God.
New Gundam game being developed for eSports. Oh, I am. Oh, man. Let me tell you something.
Who's watching that?
As someone who watches a lot of eSports, only Donald.
I will be participating in this.
I hope so.
Yes.
My AKA
how old are you?
I'm 30. Oh, shoot. I'm 30. I'm turning 35 this year. There we go.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass handed to you by Zoomers.
Oh, let me tell you something. They can't play if they don't got any thumbs, all right? So Gundam, essentially, Bandai Namco is looking at esports, at the North American audience, and they want to get into that market, and they're using Gundam to get into that market. So they say that they're going to make a Gundam game for esports, but we don't know exactly which game they're gonna model this off. Like they've made a couple games. I personally feel that
unless it's a battle royale or attack shooter, I don't think they're.
I think like right now, Gundam Battle Operations 2, like as much crap as you guys give it, it is a prime. It's a prime model for a esports game because it is a very tactical game where you have dedicated roles. Because there's no voice chat in this game, which is incredibly frustrating. But if there was voice chat, I'd be fucking chewing out my entire team all the time because some people just run off and just do some shit and they die and like you fucking idiot. Anyways, so like that is a very good backbone for an esports game. Mm-hmm. The only issue is the microtransactions in that game. It is tied to getting new mobile suits. And I think that is the issue that they're going to have to.
And wouldn't it almost be pay to win?
Essentially, yeah, because like some suits, like if you don't get it that week, you will miss out, and then it's put in the lottery, but like the chance of getting it is pretty low. So you could screw yourself out if you're not like dropping money to get the new suits. So I think that's going to be the thing they're going to have to figure out in order to make this game work. But I'm going to be following this shit until it comes out, and I'll be playing it
when they make a G Gundam game that plays like Devil May Cry.
You're gross, Marcus. You're gross. And that's it.
All right. That has been it for the quick hits, and we're going to go into the heavy hitters. Take it away, Avery.
Video games are... no, in all seriousness. So, the most interesting thing has been happening over the last couple of months. I want to say about 3 to 4 months ago, a random studio called Blue Box Games that no one really has really heard much from. I think all of their earlier releases are mobile stuff.
Mobile games, yeah.
Released a trailer on the PlayStation blog, which means PlayStation is willing to promote this game, of a very interesting looking first person horror game. Everyone was like, this looks a lot like a Silent Hill-esque game. Maybe it's connected to Kojima. And then the team immediately came out and said, hey, we are not connected to Kojima or Konami in any way. Like, they were like, really?
Wink.
They were really like, so most people took them at face value and like, oh, that kind of sucks. You showed off your game. Everyone immediately said this looks like a Kojima game and now you gotta walk this back. It sucks. Come E3 times, they've been slowly marketing their game and now are leaning into the Kojima-esque nature of the game and the experience. And it has the entire video game community, even like high-profile journalists, going down internet rabbit holes to figure out Is Hideo Kojima working on a Silent Hill game right now? And is this abandoned game just it under a different name until they PlayStation gets their shit together? So a couple.
Right.
I love how Hideo Kojima literally can just sit back, do nothing, and people will go insane as he just watches the chaos.
Yeah, it's wild all the links that people are pulling out. Like, one of the things is that so Blue Box Game Studios is supposed to be based in the Netherlands.
And Koji Pro just opened a Dutch-based affiliate studio.
Right. And then that country's flag was spotted on the Death Stranding director cut trailer. So like it's like,
what a troll.
What?
And then people argue that Blue Box's initials is BB.
Oh, so my everyone is arguing God. That
it's that the name of the studio is like it's BB, like it's
give
like
based
on the Bridge Babies. And then another argument is this one's very interesting, and I think this one is the most as most fuel to the Kojima rumors. The games director is the name Hassan Kamaran. And people have pointed out that his name is a weird anagram translated into another language to Hideo Kojima.
Turkish or some shit like that.
Yo, it is.
Yo.
It's wild. It's wild.
This is amazing.
And then here's the most insane thing. I'm on Twitter and I'm like deeply embedded into video game Twitter on the internet. So like Twitter always is like recommending topics they think that I'll be interested in. So the topic it recommended to me was by Konami Online, and it was advertising Silent Hill merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went in to look into this. Wait, play Konami Online, what the fuck is this? And then, like, had Jeff Keighley in the fucking ads being like, hey, man, I can't wait to see it. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then, like, another thing that people pointed out is that this team has talked about how they've been working with PlayStation since 2015 on this project. What else happened in 2015? PlayStation started working with Hideo Kojima on his next game. So you're either telling me that PlayStation has spent like going like 8 years with this small studio to make a PlayStation exclusive, or they're talking about the relationship with Hideo Kojima.
Yeah. Like, mind you, if you roll back this conversation, before Abandon, this studio has been making mobile games. So why would PlayStation support the studio for so long if their pedigree was just mobile games? Like,
this is like watching the Da Vinci Code.
this is one of those things where this is completely fascinating, and I know I won't be getting the Silent Hill game.
I think the final nail in the coffin that there's definitely something going on with this game is that the small indie dev team who is making this brand new IP for PlayStation is releasing a app next week to show off more of their game.
Yeah.
Okay, that's super weird. Why would PlayStation let a small indie team just release a random app to show off their game?
Exactly. And who does that?
Who does that?
And like Hideo Kojima.
This team is going out of their way to our next game is going to start with an S and with an L. We're not talking about Silent Hill, guys. Once again, not connected to Hideo Kojima.
Super Monkey
Ball. Or Konami. They're just like kneeling into this narrative, and if I was PlayStation and I'm producing this first party game, why would I keep letting this happen unless there's something more going on?
Where there's smoke, there's fire, guys. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
You old.
I've said this off camera. There's two realities to this. Either this is the coolest thing that's happened in video games since the lead up to Death Stranding and us trying to figure out what that game was, or I'm just going to be super fucking angry.
All this work and this game is cheeks.
I'll be honest. If Abandon is just a random new IP from PlayStation that's just a dumb horror game, I'm not playing it. But if I'm just not. Like, but if it's a Hideo Kojima Silent Hills game, I'm like, I'll give it a shot. I'll 100% give it a shot.
What I want to know is if it's starring Norman Reedus or not.
And the Magic Fetus.
Because they're best friends now.
I mean, he put that box away, so he might just be walking into a new game. We never know.
Could be.
We'll never know.
The lamest reality this could be would be all an elaborate marketing for the director's cut of Death Stranding.
Oh.
That baby was abandoned.
That would be super whack, and I love Death Stranding.
Oh man, that would suck.
But
yikes.
All right. And on to the last heavy hitter. Take it away, Sean.
This is coming from IGN and a little excerpt from Eurogamer as well. So Jim Ryan, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, said the company wants more less ho-ish cross-platform multiplayer games for PlayStation. They had an interview with Axios, and they said they support and encourage crossplay, noting that crossplay currently works with big games such as Fortnite, Rocket League, Call of Duty, Minecraft, and Destiny 2, and, you know, a couple other stuff that is not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me hope that Overwatch 2 is going to be crossplay.
However,
well,
in another ho-ass move, Sony apparently charges the developers or the publishers, whoever, they charge a fee for this. So I guess they want a cut of something. They didn't exactly go over all the essentials, but like when Fortnite released on the Switch, which I was playing kind of sparingly at the time, you could not transfer over like your Epic account to get all your purchases on the Switch if you had ever played it on the PlayStation.
Right.
You could transfer your stuff if you played it on the Xbox, though.
Right.
And after much pressure from, you know, the fans and what have you, Sony finally relented. And Epic is not clear exactly what the terms were, but that came out during the larger court case with Apple. So a lot of stuff was spilled with that Apple versus Epic court case.
Right.
Yeah. Sony, that's some bitch-assness, man.
Yeah.
I want to support you, but I can't get down with that.
Yeah. This is one of those things where, because we know what we know from the court case, this feels like Jim Ryan trying to do damage control.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where we shouldn't know the inner workings, so this would have played better, but because we know the inner workings now, this is just like,
yep,
dude, this is some ho-ass shit. like what?
That's what it is. Yeah. Jim Ryan is a ho.
Like,
simple and plain.
And it's one of those things where, like, you know, he has to do the business thing. He has to make business moves. And, you know, because PlayStation is number one right now, it's like, yeah, we can make more money off of this, so we'll just charge people for crossplay because we know that's what the fans want, and we can make money from it. So that's what we're going
to
do.
They said, in certain circumstances, Epic will have to pay additional revenue to Sony, as reported by The Verge. Like, if somebody was primarily playing on the PlayStation, but then played Fortnite on their iPhone a little bit, that might trigger compensation. I'm really curious what this contract looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the contract probably has shifted since now Sony has stake in Epic Games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah.
I wish we were a bigger podcast currently so that we could say Jim Ryan is a hoe and, like, people would hear it. like just a headline on IGN, press X to start, says Jim Ryan is a hoe.
I don't know if we want Jim Ryan's attention, to be honest.
Hey, I mean, I can always, like, promote this on Instagram. I could put 500 on it.
He's like,
get the word out.
He's like, oh, that's a PlayStation-centric podcast. Oh, they
target
have the
audience.
They have the sacred symbols in the background. Let's sue them. Wait a minute.
Hold on, big dog.
My fault, OG.
I meant I'm a hoe. I'm a hoe.
I'm sorry, master.
Hilarious.
But all right, well, take us home, DJ, before we get sued.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast. We hope you, Jim Ryan, appreciate the jokes we've been telling. And you, the viewer, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting apps. Every little bit count. Make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. And in case you miss any of this, you can find all this information and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Again, don't forget, go to pressxnumber2start.com/Palestine to donate, /YouTube to go to our YouTube channel, and /League to see that I'm fucking winning this shit. Let's go.
Congrats.
All right. Uno out.
Peace.
Goodbye.